This is an interview with Mrs. Dozono. This is tape 6, side 2. Go ahead, please.
So she asked me what I thought about him, and I said, I think he's ugly, and I think he's old, because he was sort of balding. And she laughed, and she said, well, that's Mr. Dozono. And I took it as Dozo, please, and you say Dozo, something no. And so I thought his name was Dozo. Dozono sensei, Dozono teacher. And she said, no, his name is Dozono. And I said, well, I don't think anything about him because I thought he was just coming to visit. Well, that was the beginning of the go-between arrangement. And he had come to talk to my uncle to ask if he could marry me. And that was a Friday. So from Monday, Wednesday to Friday, it was sort of an arranged thing, unbeknownst to me. Well, it was very unbeknownst to my aunt, too, because it went so fast. And then my teacher, Mrs. Tanaka, began to ask me what I thought, and I said, well, no, I don't think anything of him. He was dark and had curly hair and was sort of on the bald side, and to me, I thought he was very arrogant. He was taller than the normal Japanese, and his bearing was very straight, and he was much older than I would have thought. But she kept on saying, well, would you ever think of marrying a person like that? And I said, no, you know. I said, I'm too young, and I said, I'm not interested. But she said, well, these are the kind of things that you have to think about because he has a very great future, and we all think highly of him, and so why don't you sort of get used to him? And I said, no, you know, because I really wasn't interested at all. But it got to the point where my aunt and my cousin and I went to Gifu to meet him, and the more I met him, the unhappier I was, because we had nothing to talk about. And he always had his go-between with him. And he was, as I said, much older than I.
Who was his go-between?
It was, he lived in a boarding house. And she was a wife of a man who was a former governor of Gifu. But Mr. Owaki had run away with a younger woman, and so she was divorced, and she had this huge house that was built like a boarding house, and that's where my husband lived with his sister. Mm-hmm. And that's another story about the wedding. But in between that period, we went to visit him, and my aunt was very animated and talked to my future husband more than I did, and all I did was listen. And they kept on saying, well, you don't know what marriage is, you don't know what love is. This is something that you get married and then love will come gradually onto you. And so I thought, well, the main reason, I think, for my having persevered and stayed in that whole atmosphere of learning Japanese was because during all that time, my father would write letters to me telling me that he wanted me to stay and become a Japanese lady because he was going eventually to come back and live in Japan, and he wanted me to be there so that I could take care of him. And so I felt it was an obligation for me to stay. But unbeknownst to me, I remember later on, when my sister came to visit me in Gifu, she and my aunt had gone over to the back room, and they had a very animated conversation. And after I came back to America, my sister said, you probably didn't know what the circumstances were, but America was in a deep depression. And that's the reason why my sister and her husband went to Japan. But she said, Papa wanted you to stay in Japan, so he was sending money over to my aunt and an uncle for my education, for my clothing and everything. Even though my uncle and aunt were very wealthy people, my father never wanted to be obligated to anybody. Mm-hmm. And so she said that Papa had a hard time sending money to me. And the reason why she didn't tell me or no one told me was because they felt that if I had known that, I would not have stayed in Japan. Uh-huh. And here during that time, I thought that I was obligated to my uncle and aunt because they were raising me and they were giving me all these lessons. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I was obligated to them. This I did not know till later in my life. And I keep on telling you that in those days, I think that we were raised to be very obedient, to listen to what our elders said, and not create waves.
Do you think you would have done anything differently had you known about this?
And looking back, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think I was very content in learning different things, and I think as I keep on repeating that I actually found myself. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I had a very dear Nisei friend here who wrote me letters and saying that I really didn't think that you'd be able to persevere as you did. But it was a new life for me. And then, you know, mm-hmm. learning all these things, it was just me. Mm.
So many things happen in life that you don't completely understand the circumstances behind. Was it a bit of a revelation later on when you found out about these things?
It was. Mm-hmm. I remember when I came back because my father had died just 2 months before I came back, and I remember that I cried and I cried and I said, what was the reason for my going to Japan, you know? But that was because the war had broken and he would never have gone back to Japan. But during the years that I was going to school with Mrs. Tanaka, there was a young man, his name was Mitsuo, and he had graduated from college and he was working in the Mitsui company in Tokyo. And every spring and summer when he came back, his father was the principal of this high school where Mr. Tanaka worked as a teacher. And he had heard about me, this Japanese girl from Nisei, from America. So he would come in, and when I was being taught lessons with Mrs. Tanaka, he would come in and sit there and listen to me. And the one time when my aunt and cousin and I went into Gifu to meet Mr. Dozono, they were going to buy an engagement ring for me. And we were on this electric tram going from Sekimachi into Gifu. Excuse me. I met Mitsuo on the train. And he had come back during that summer because all the young men were in, it's like an ROTC here, mm-hmm. and there was a military unit just in between the two cities. And he had come there for sort of a training period. And I saw him coming, he came into the train. And he came right over to me, and he was asking me how my Japanese was. And later in later years, my cousin told me that he had fallen in love with me, and he was waiting for me to grow up. And he didn't marry for a long, long time, and his parents had a hard time for him to get married. But the tragedy of the thing was he went into the army and he was killed in the army, so my life would have been altogether different. Mm-hmm. But I was attracted to him because he was younger and he was very humorous. He had a great sense of humor, and he would just sit there and not say a word, but just listen to the teacher and me talk, and he would always ask me how I was doing, and he was my age. And so that's life. You know, there's a turning point. I think if we had even said that in that train ride, if I had said that I was, or my cousin or someone would have said that Yoneko was going over there to meet her future husband, or they were planning to get married, or whatever, I think he would have spoken up at that time. Yeah. But he was just abiding his time. And so my cousin later told me that he was very disappointed. He was very angry with his parents for not letting him know.
Do you think that anyone in your family knew what his intentions were?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think Mrs. Tanaka might have known.
Mm-hmm. How would they have felt about your marrying somebody like that?
Well, he came from a good background, and it would have been great for me, because we were, you know, I was able to talk to him and laugh and talk with him. But with Dozona, he was such an austere, you know, very
very formal,
very, very formal person. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what happened next then?
Well, we got married.
So what were the factors that were being considered then in your family arranging this marriage? I mean, why him?
Well, because he was such a well-known educator in Gifu. He was young. He was the dean of the normal school in Gifu, and he had a great reputation of being a great educator. And I think there are many families who really wanted their daughters to marry him. And so, to me, it was for my go-between and for my aunt and uncle that it would have been a great catch for me. Mm-hmm. But another thing that I remember in reading my diary, that his family came from a big farm family in Kyushu where men were men. They're very macho.
Where is Kyushu?
Kyushu is the there's Hokkaido up on the top, and then Honshu is the main island, and then Kyushu is the southern islands, where you have many war stories about the kamikaze warriors and that sort of thing. And so the men in Kyushu were considered men of men. Mm-hmm. They were looked up to. And I, in telling my life history, I had to be very honest, but that part of my family life was, I was very cultured. And he came from a fine, upstanding, good farm family, but it was not as cultured per se as the way I was brought up. And so I had learned flower arrangement, I had learned tea, I had learned to learn all the niceties of social life. But his family, they're all wonderful people, but they're more on the farm side. So in my diary, I remember saying, I wondered why I married into a family that I could not express my accomplishments to. Mm-hmm.
And how do you answer that question?
I guess the only thing that I could think of is my father having gone to Japan to see the background of the Kaima family before my oldest sister was able to get married. After about 2.5 years while I was in Japan, my mother went over to Japan to see the background of my second sister's marriage. Mm-hmm. And talking about my mother. She was put into a position where my grandmother was still alive, and she was not in good health. And so my mother, being the wife of the eldest son, my aunt wrote letters telling my mother that she should take care of her mother-in-law. And so she stayed in Japan for several months, but it was very hard for her because she was so Americanized at that time. And I remember that she did not wear Japanese clothes at all. And she had a hard time in cooking because over here we had gas and electricity. And she would use a lot of American words like telephone, radio, that sort of thing. And I remember that I had become so Japanese that I resented the fact that my mother was using English words that other people couldn't understand. That's how much I had become a Japanese. But in my marriage, having gone through all that background for my two sisters, my father left everything up to my aunt. And it was in I don't know whether it was economically or what the reason was, but she wanted me to get married before anything happened. And so when something good like this happened, I guess they went into it sort of in haste. But my aunt sort of regretted it afterwards.
Why?
Well, that's another part of it. Yeah.
Well then, you've said something about his background. How did you get to know him any better than before the marriage?
Not really. There was one instance where friends of my family came to Japan and they wanted to meet me, so we went. This was before I was married. The name was Mr. and Mrs. Takami. And from Portland, they had gone to visit relatives in Japan, and so they didn't have time to come to the house, and so we were to meet at the Nagoya station, and my aunt and my husband-to-be and I went to meet them at the station. And when Mrs. Takami came in a pink outfit, and she was very... she was a pianist and a good friend of my family's, but when we greeted each other, I was in a kimono, and she thought my husband-to-be was my uncle. And when they greeted each other, she made the mistake of saying, you know, that she thought that it was my uncle and aunt and me would come. And so even at that time, my husband to be took offense. And I remembered crying when they left. And we had lunch at the Nagoya station. There was a restaurant there. And when they left, I remember crying and I remember waving goodbye to them. And then we got on to the train to come back to Gifu. And I remember my husband said in a very sarcastic way, he says, if you're so sad in meeting friends from Japan, why don't you go back to Japan? And I thought, what a cruel thing for him to say.
Why don't you go back to Japan?
I mean, go back to America. And the fact that they thought he was that much older than I think he took great offense too.
How much older was he then?
11 years older.
11 years older. So...
But he had a very prestigious background in that he went to the Tokyo Higher Normal School, which is very prestigious at that time. And he also went to the... one of the most prestigious universities in Tokyo. So he had a wonderful background. And I remember he telling me that his professors wanted him to stay in Tokyo to teach. And so he had that background that he was very proud of his education, his background. Also knowing that with his background he would make something of himself, which he did.
So what were the events then leading up to the marriage? Was there anything more? Is there any kind of an engagement period or anything like that?
Well, during the summer I received the ring, and then I think we probably met two or three times, and that was it. Mm-hmm. So in the during that time, my uncle had insisted that he separate himself from the boarding house and have a home of our own. But my husband said he was obligated to the Owaki family and that they needed his support. And that's why his sister, who was also a teacher, who came from Fukuoka, and he had found a job for her. And so she was a teacher in Gifu City. And so he said that he was obligated to the Owaki family. So we stayed there, and so that was very disagreeable to my uncle. And so he did not even come to the wedding.
And really?
So at the wedding, the only person I knew was my aunt and the go-between. Other than that, it was my husband's father who came from Fukuoka, and the dignitaries of the school. And that was it. So if you look at my wedding picture, you can see that I'm very, very downcast because I did not know what was going on.
What was the actual ceremony like? What happens in the ceremony?
They have this, what they call Sansan Kudo. It's more of Shinto. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was all in a haze. I really didn't know what was going on. And they have the three lacquered dishes that are on a little pedestal, and there's sake that's poured into each of the three little cups, and that's passed on to the man and the wife and to the go-betweens. And then, so it's, Sansan Kudo means 339. And so you take three sips out of the first cup, and then it's passed on. And then you take the second cup and you have sake poured in, and then you pass that on. You do that three times. And that's the marriage ceremony. And then you're placed into the family registry, which was in Kyushu.
Kyushu?
His family in Fukuoka.
Uh-huh. So then you stayed in the same town then? You were at that boarding house?
Yes.
And you stayed at the same town?
And I stayed in the same boarding house for half a year. And is there going to be enough room in the tape?
Yes.
When I was married, into a family of Mrs. Owaki, her two sons, one was going to high school, one was going to grade school, a daughter who had married a military man who was killed in Manchuria, so she came back to live with her mother, with a daughter named Toshchan. She was like 6 or 7 years old. Plus my husband's sister, Nao-san, my husband and myself. So when I was married into that family, it was married into that family, my husband's adopted family. Mm. And we had two rented rooms on the one side of the home, which is the proper side. And then Mrs. Owaki, since she had been divorced, she had no means of livelihood. So she had built the side of the house into sort of a boarding room, and that's where her children and her Nasa and the rest of the family lived. But we all ate together. And the daughter who had come back from the war, from Manchuria, and Mrs. Owaki and I took turns. Every 3 days, we would cook for the whole family. And that was the hardest time of my life because I had never learned how to cook at home except from what my aunt had taught me. And in those days, too, we cooked rice with wood. And we had to go out to buy food. Mm-hmm. And my husband had such a sense of obligation that he thought more of the Owaki family than he did of me. And so during that time, while he was gone, Mrs. Owaki would give me clothing or bed clothing to make over. And all I did day in and day out was stay in my room and do all the sewing.
Now, you may have mentioned this already, but why was he so obligated? Why did he feel so obliged to Mrs. Owaki?
Owaki. Well, probably because when he first went to Gifu, uh-huh. He went there and she was a person who had had a good life mm-hmm. before, and that she had no means of livelihood. And so with he going into mm-hmm. the family mm-hmm. and now son going into the family, they paid her rent. And so if the two of them left, and she was left with the two sons and the daughter who had come back and the granddaughter, she would be destitute. Of course, I'm sure she would have been able to find other boarders. Mm-hmm. But my husband was a teacher of history, social studies, and mm-hmm. ethics. And so he had a great sense of loyalty and ethics and being obligated. So during that time, when he came home, I know you shake your head.
But it just seems like so much for you to be going through.
But my children don't even know this part really? Of life. No. But he would come home and he would change his clothes and he would go immediately over to the other part of the house where the family stayed. It was sort of like a family room where we ate and. He would help the two sons with their homework. Here I was left alone in this room until dinner time, unless I was the one who cooked. And then we would go over there and eat with this whole family. Mm-hmm. And I was the strange person in the family because they had all lived together. And Nao-san, who was the sister, she was on the weak side, but she was a very nice person, but she never talked. She was another one who just took things as they were. And I remember that whenever I cooked the rice, Mrs. Owaki would always say, today's rice is too hard, or today's rice is too soft. And she would make deprecating remarks about things like that. And I took it for the longest time. But it got to the point where, this you have to know too, that when I was married, I didn't know anything about sex. Everything was new to me. So at night when we were sleeping, I would have to go over to the toilet during the night. Mm-hmm. And I would see her shadow there by the side, and she was listening and watching us. And I started having a nervous breakdown. And we were married in October the 6th, but I remember around December, it was probably a cold winter night. I remember that and in the evenings too, he would go over there and talk with the family, and I would always be over on my side, sewing or reading or doing whatever. So I remember that night, I silently left the house and went to a telephone booth, and I called my aunt. And I told my aunt that I was sick, that I was really homesick. So she came after me and brought me back to Seki. And she took me to the doctor, and the doctor said that I was almost on the brink of a nervous breakdown. And so I stayed home for about less than a week, and my husband came after me and told me I had to come back.